All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You're getting the most out of being at a game with American Express. The card member entrance, the lounge, and now tip-off. That's the powerful backing of American Express. See how to elevate your live sports experience at americanexpress.com/withAmex. Eligible American Express card required. Benefits vary by card and by venue. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Allstate. Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Let's Move the Goalposts Another 2 Months podcast. All right.
I never know what you're going to say in the intro, so it's always a good...
Stats. I guess I should have said 2 weeks. Not 2 months. It'll end up being till the fucking... Are we out of it officially?
It'll be trade deadline. Like, what is the cutoff? 1 p.m. Mountain? It'll be like 12:58 Mountain, and Don Maloney will still be like, we're not sure yet what we're going to do.
There's a late 8 p.m. start the night before. We just got to know... Where we gotta give
these guys one more chance to show us they're a playoff team.
Before we jumped on here, I was just on the ticker and saw Nashville loss. I'm like, oh, geez, Nashville is just has not been great. I wonder where they're at in the standings, dude.
Yeah,
the fact that we're not in a playoff position right now means we suck. There's three teams tied at 54 points: LA, who's totally fallen off the face of the planet; St. Louis; and Nashville.
I was shocked to see St. Louis is so far ahead of us.
How are you not better than one of those teams?
What do you mean, how? We can't even beat the fucking Columbus Blue Jackets.
Ever. What's the stats now? 2-8 and something?
Yeah. So against Chicago and Columbus, the last, like, what, 8 games? They're like 2-6-1 or something?
Yeah. We're not sure, though, what we want to do. It's up to the players. The players will be the ones deciding.
We can't rebuild, though.
Oh, am I allowed to say the word though? Dude, why is Markstrom so fucking good all of a sudden? We're trying to fucking lose here.
Dude, he was so... I do not understand. And this was my big thing with signing Markstrom. I remember going through this. We went through like year-to-year goalie stats are so variable. Year-to-year goalie performance is so variable. It's like, don't spend all your money on a goalie because you never know what you're going to get year to. Last year, if he makes 10 more saves, we're in the playoffs. We're one of the best, one of the most dominant five-on-five teams in the league. He could have gone on a nice little run. But he's so, he's the 31st save percentage last year. He was like one of the worst goalies in the league. This year, it's like one of the, he should win the Vezina probably.
I wonder if you add, like, did he blame it on Daryl? Too much bullying in the dressing room, probably.
Yeah, it's probably, meanie. Yeah. Everyone's all relaxed now. He can relax and just stop the puck without being ridiculed.
In front of a terrible team.
Yeah. The team's bad now, and he's good.
What was it? Woodley?
Dude, yeah. Woodley called this like 2-3 years ago when we signed Markstrom. Yeah. I remember this.
Markstrom is better in front of bad hockey. For some reason. Put him in front of a low shot volume, can't stop a puck.
Except for that one year where he was insane and like outplayed Jake Ottinger in the first round. I think he outplayed him. And then fell off the face of the earth against the Oilers.
Nobody played out Jake Ottinger.
He made big saves, though. And
yes.
He stopped a breakaway almost in game 7 overtime.
Dude, Jake Ottinger was on another planet. So he didn't even go toe-to-toe. Was Markstrom great? Yeah. But Jake Ottinger was possessed by something.
It's weird how I have like my pre-Gaudreau Kachuk leaving life and my post-Gaudreau Kachuk leaving life. I remember like every game.
Oh, yeah. What's the post detail. One like?
The post one's just a blurry dystopia of doom and gloom. It's just a
hot, bloody mess. Eh? You don't know what's like, what.
Thinking about that game 7. Is.
You're not sure where the, yeah. Where the blood's from. You're not sure what that weird fucking color is. Of whatever it is. It's just a hot mess.
I remember every shift in all those games. Now I'm like, hey, we played St. Louis. We lost to St. Louis? What even fucking happened in that game? I don't remember. Ugh. Who's on our team?
I like how we totally rushed the last podcast just to avoid talking with the Oilers, huh?
Oh, absolutely.
I'm glad we did it. I'm glad we did it. Otherwise, we would have to record it after that.
Yeah, it would have been brutal. And like, here's what's getting even more.
Oh.
I think it's a good litmus test when I'm like, I don't even care if the Oilers are good anymore at this point because we are such a bunch of limp dick losers. It's just I don't care.
Week by week. And I think it's just self-rationalization and it's just preparation.
Yeah, you're just,
Yeah, what did I say to you? Because I was just like, you know what? Fuck it. We're such a pathetic excuse of an organization at this point. Maybe this is what we need. Ultimate suffering. Just give it to me. Yeah. Just give me the lowest of the low. Blow my fucking brains out. That's what that's what fucking the Oilers winning the Stanley Cup is going to feel like. Just do it. Whatever. Give it to me. This is what it's going to take to rebuild? You're sitting there. These guys are going to set an NHL record. And we have to fucking observe it. We have to witness it while we stink.
Well, we absolutely suck, and we're a pathetic group of a bunch of dorks.
Everybody blames Daryl. Everybody blames Daryl. You haven't seen nothing yet.
You have not seen nothing yet.
You haven't seen anything yet. The big meanie's gone. Lindholm's going to score 50. Wow. Can you believe this guy said that?
And that we were excited about it. That's what's even more funny.
We ever got excited about this puke. He's such a sad excuse of a human being, let alone a fucking hockey player, dude.
Where is he anyways? I haven't seen. He kind of had that little streak where
they're probably all in Mexico. Huh?
And now, definitely.
He's probably wearing some goofy ass outfit in Mexico with a stupid smile on his face.
The boys, I saw Uyghurs in Mexico. I saw Backlund and Coleman are there. Lindholm is somewhere.
Dude, no wonder Daryl had this guy depressed. He sucks. Daryl's probably ragging on him. Like, dude, you suck. You're terrible.
Do you know you suck? Knowing is half the battle. Yeah, it was just, it's embarrassing. Like,
what
again,
do you,
like,
what do you even like work? I think you said it succinctly. What was it, before the Chicago game or after the Chicago game? I can't remember. Let's go through those stats, because the only difference, because I'm sitting here, I'm like, hey, why do we blow so bad? Like, let's break this down. And the only reason why is we don't have a Hall of Fame coach anymore.
Yeah, it's pretty clear.
That's just what we have as a roster. This is what Brad built. This is what Brad left. This is the legacy left behind.
Brad's beautiful legacy.
His beautiful, beautiful legacy left behind. What's he supposed to do? Let's see what he's going to have on his gravestone, eh?
What's he supposed to do, Brad?
Brad, what was he supposed to do with the tree living? All right, the Flames.
Realize, Brad, the hardest working GM in the league.
The Flames last year, this is a good one. Last year, you posted this on Instagram at 5-on-5 at this point of the juncture. Yeah. Second, or was this overall after the season was over? These stats.
Well, these stats. Last year's stats. Yeah, it's at the end of the year last year.
The entire fucking season.
Yeah, compared to where they're at now this year.
The Flames finished second place in the league in shots percentage for. Shots for percentage. This year, 14th. That's a fucking huge drop off, dude. From top five to mid. They were second in shot attempts for percentage. This year, they're currently in 19th. Fourth in expected goals for percentage. 24th this year. 14th in goals for percentage. 21st this year. 31st. And save percentage. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's quite 20, clear.
25th this year, but like, you look at that and you're just like, oh my God. How? The last third of the season, you had Pouty McPouterson. Clearly, his agent, everybody, blaming all the struggles on Daryl. You had the Daryl hate bagwagon forming. It was only a matter of time. I like how everybody just jumped to the conclusion that it's all one guy's fault.
I don't think they jumped. They freaking dove in with glee as they besmirched the character of a great man. They did more than jump to that conclusion.
And then after, dude, I know we talked about this at length, you know, following last season, but then afterwards, all the interviews and the media interviews with the players, it became the across-the-board excuse. It became an excuse.
Well, that was our problem with it. It was like, hey, fire Daryl, whatever, but don't use it as your fucking excuse for why, like, right?
Yes. I mean, so you look at that, and then what was this other one you tweeted or posted? I tweeted at the All-Star break, because apparently that's the big juncture.
That's the juncture
point.
That's where Don Maloney said, that's where we're going to see where we're at in his interview. That was where he didn't invoke any confidence at all in the fan base in that Arizona game a few weeks back.
Yeah, we're going to wait till the All-Star break. Where the hell is it?
I've got it in front of me. The All-Star break, which is Don Maloney's inflection point, apparently. They're sixth in the division, 12th in the conference, 24th in the league. And like you rattled off before in those key metrics, 21st in goals for percentage, 24th in expected goals for percentage, 19th in shot attempts for percentage, 30th in power play percentage. That's where we're at. Sixth in the division, 12th in the conference, 24th in the league. I think you have your answer as to what this team is.
Pulling out the standings at the All-Star break, we alluded to it. There's three teams. Oh, fuck, man. This would be such an easy year to squeak in. Three teams tied it at 54 points. LA, St. Louis, and Nashville. Seattle's right below them at 52. And then you're tied now with Arizona for 49 points. So you're 5 points back of three
tied
teams.
Tied with Arizona.
Tied with Arizona.
What a world.
And guess, hey, yeah. without looking, we've played 49 games.
Yeah.
What's the record? You got five ties. You have five ties. So out of 44 games, what's the record?
My mid-meter tells me 22 and 22.
Jeez, how could you ever guess it?
Crazy, eh?
It's just a mid-team. We're a 500 club.
Well, you know what? Like, I think we're getting beyond just being a mid-team. Because this is
we're
the
24th. 24th in the world is a little bit worse than mid.
We're 24th. Like, we just lost to Columbus, right? The Blue Jackets, again, for the second time this year and the third time in 2 years. Insane. We are in the bottom third. Wasn't he, what, eight teams that are worse than us? Nine teams? Are we a mid-team? I think we're a really bad team. Did you watch the Chicago Blackhawks? We're absolutely like, pick us apart defensively, and the only reason you win that game is because Jacob Markstrom had probably his best performance of the last year and a half.
Dude, you posted this after the game. The Hawks,
yeah,
against the Flames, including five fucking breakaways, had the most high danger scoring chances that the Hawks have had in any one game all season long. So they hit a season high against.
Yeah, against us. Yeah.
Of course.
Our sweet defensive team.
13 highest scoring dangerous chances. Markstrom shuts the door. I like the meme going around after the game.
Markstrom's. Yeah.
You have the Flames. There's a picture of a dam. The water above the dam is holding is the Flames. At the bottom of the dam, it's Macklin Celebrini, where he used a high draft pick. What's the only thing preventing the Flames from getting a high draft pick? What is the dam? Jacob Markstrom. Could you cool it? Where's some of that play from last season, Jacob?
Where's some of those letting the first shot in and letting all these backbreaking goals in?
He's still doing that. Had a pretty good club. Yeah. He's not reading us of that frustration while watching. We still get that one.
It is pretty insane, though. So that's kind of where I'm at because, like, where I see a lot of people who are like, again, we've talked about this before, people who say like, well, I don't want to be like Buffalo. I don't want to be even Edmonton. Or you look at Columbus, look at Ottawa. Like, you don't want to be in the sewer and be one of the worst teams in the league for 5 years. We already are. We're already one of the worst teams.
Yep. Dude, we went through a rebuild and won fuck all. Now we're facing another one. What do we have to show for it?
Well, I think Brad fucked that one up, so.
Well, yes. I think you nailed this. It's like, don't look at Buffalo. Don't look at Edmonton. There's good management and there's bad management. At this stage of the game, don't even call it whatever.
I don't care what you fucking call it. Just do some good, manage your team properly and have.
Exactly. Here's a good,
how about rebuild, tank, retool? I don't care. How about this? A team that has some semblance of a long-term plan. How about that?
How about just committed to making excellent management decisions.
Because, and we've talked about this before, because everybody, I think, is like, why do they keep doing that? Why do they always finish 16th? Why are they always so mid? And it's not that they always finish 16th, because they have a few division titles in there in the last 5-6 years, whatever. So that's a bit of a generalization. But for the most part, they've always been just kind of like a middling team. And it's because of this. It's because every year is the same. Let's see what happens. We want to see what happens. We want to throw shit at the wall. We want to see that.
How about Tree Living? Okay, you're actually fucking good.
Yeah.
You're in first place. I believe in the group.
Don't want to touch anything. I think we're good.
You're terrible. You're not going to miss the playoffs. I believe in the group.
Yeah.
How about good? Just be committed to making excellent management decisions. I don't give a fuck where you're in the standings. I don't give a fuck who's up on your contract. Are they going to sign? And where are you at currently in the season? Are you making the playoffs?
None of the bullshit that they make decisions on generally should have any effect on what they're doing. Kent Wilson had a good article on his Substack this week. Just, I think it was called like, man, it's essentially just a management article and relating it to hockey is like, you go in the direction that you manage. If you're just aimless and don't really have any specified goals and you're not really sure, and you're just, that's what you're going to get as a result.
Well, and if you make five bad management decisions in the span of 3 years, you're playing catch up. And I mean, Brad made some fucking atrocious ones, dude.
Well,
the James Neal signing, the Troy Brower signing, the Milan Lucic subsequent trade, when you could have bought up James Neal. Edmonton won that fucking trade. The fact that Lucic wouldn't even fight anybody from Edmonton after that.
Well, pretty much the fact that the James Neal signing cost us Matthew Tkachuk because you didn't have money to sign him to a long-term deal because you signed fucking James Neal to the worst contract you could ever imagine.
Why did you bring that up?
I'm sorry. I was watching the Senators game tonight and I was like, because apparently they're interested in Chris Tanev for some reason.
Yeah, I know. And they're going to deal with Jake. How about we're interested in Chikrin? Did they not see that? What the fuck is going on, dude?
All I was thinking was like, how could we get Brady Tkachuk? Can we get Brady? We don't have Matthew. Can we have the next best thing?
You could have had the only chance of getting Brady was still having Matthew. That dream's long past, dude.
Fuck, I hate my life so much. I miss my old life. I miss talking about Matthew Tkachuk. But anyways,
I miss turning on a Flames game. I miss that.
I miss turning it on and like watching players I like. But anyways, that's what is. Ken just had it made a good point. It's something we've talked about a lot is that like they don't really have any specified goals. They're always just like, I mean, even in Craig's press conference, like, well, I want to win the Stanley Cup. Well, it's like that's not like sure, great.
Sure.
But like,
can you tell us how you're going to get there, Craig?
Exactly. Like, that's kind of like,
what's the plan, Craig?
That's like when you're a kid.
I want to be a millionaire.
What do you want to do when you grow up? Exactly. I want to make $1 million. Oh, okay.
What do you do about that? What do you mean? I want to make $1 million.
It's exactly what I want. I'll be a millionaire by the time I'm 30. How are you going to get there? I don't know. Oh, all right.
Do you have any skills, George?
See, okay, this is exactly, this is the exact scene. This is the Flames. It's Kramer talking to George. Do you have a job? No. Do you have any money? No. Do you have a woman? No. Do you have any prospects? No. Do you have any action at all? No. Do you have any reason to even get up in the morning? I like to get the daily news. It's the Flames. No plan. Nothing.
You're like a child wandering aimlessly in the woods.
Yeah. It's like, have you ever seen the movie Memento? I haven't seen it in a while, so I'm probably going to butcher the plot. So spoiler alert. It's like a trippy movie, like, but like this guy who's trying to like avenge his wife's murder or something. And he like keeps looking for a murder and he's looking. And then he ends up killing this guy at the very end of the movie. And then you find out that he's got like some sort of like memory thing where he's like, can't remember anything, and he's like killed people over and over. He keeps forgetting and remembering that he's killed all these people. That's like the Flames. They just like keep forgetting that they keep making the same mistake over and over again.
Good thing we're here to remind them. You lost to Chicago 3 times straight. You lost to Columbus. You suck.
I can't wait for the offseason press conference about how good of a team we are, and then we just underachieved.
Just had some players, some individuals, eh?
Yeah, just a few individuals.
Just a few individuals. No big deal.
No big deal at all.
So what are they going to do with these players? I mean, there's AJ Greer's off the trade table, I guess, eh? Not getting shit for him.
Yeah, well, just wait till Chris Tanev breaks his entire face blocking a shot on a random Tuesday night against, like, Buffalo or something.
You mentioned this in your stories. A great point. I know we've been talking about it on the podcast. Every shift that Tanev goes out there is a potential risk of getting nothing in return for Chris Tanev.
He's going to break something.
I retweeted that on whatever the fuck it's called, X. There's people arguing. Yeah. Oh, don't insinuate he's a Band-Aid. Here it says Bandit. I said the motherfucker will willingly block shots on a Tuesday night against the St. Louis Blues or the fucking San Jose Sharks with his face.
My face.
Willingly.
We need that.
It's even in a blowout game, he would fucking do it.
Like 6-1 Chicago.
You're playing with fire. You have 10 teams interested now? This motherfucker better be traded. By the time they come back from All-Star break, this motherfucker better be fucking traded.
He shouldn't play one more game. That'd be insane.
And I'm at the point, man, he's probably my favorite Flame. Current.
Oh, easily.
So, please. Give him a chance to win a Stanley Cup. I would love to cheer for this motherfucker in the playoffs.
Send him to a team that's going to... It's like our theory, our proposal to send all of your players to teams who Edmonton has to play.
Keep them all in the West.
Yeah.
Vegas. I think it'd be great. Wouldn't he not be a great fit for the Jets?
Great fit in Winnipeg.
Bonus has the Jets. What was that stat? 23 games straight, they allowed two or less goals.
Dude, they are rolling.
They're in first place in the league there for a few days.
It's weird how they let their player go instead of firing the mean
Holy
coach.
Holy jeez, wow, damn. Did they trade? Did they trade Wheeler?
Did they buy him out or something?
I know they traded.
They didn't sign him. They got rid of him. They got rid of PLD.
They traded PLD. Well, they better wait to the very last second before it's... Oh, wait. Yeah. No, it was too late.
I don't get this. I don't get this waiting thing.
Waiting till something bad happens is what it is.
Yeah. Waiting until Brad decides he's not going to pay the price and then you're totally left with your dick in your hand standing like an idiot.
If Craig learned one fucking thing, it's don't wait for Tree Living's last minute. He's not in on it. He's not legit in on it. He's going to be in on it to the last second, but don't ever take his fucking offer seriously. You know he's never going to pull a trigger.
Yeah, I would. If I hope Craig has not taken one of his offers. Yeah, Brad. Okay, sure.
I mean, I did a poll on Twitter. Where do you want to see Tanev end up? There's still people that want the Flames to keep him.
I know. People are insane. Like, people, I don't understand. I'm not, you can be a fan however you want, but what the fuck are we doing here, guys?
Dude, I love Tanev more than you do. Since Warner, we have not had a warrior like this. Fucking put everything on the line every night. Doesn't matter who you're playing or what night it is. No, there's good management decisions and bad management decisions. This is what we're talking about. How about you just stick to the former?
How about...
And run like hell from the fucking ladder.
Exactly.
Did you not learn anything the last 8 years?
No, they haven't. Did you not learn anything just from last year where you were like, eh? That was what a wasted opportunity. You know what you could have got for some of these guys last year?
Dude, imagine if you would trade Johnny Gaudreau and then Matthew Tkachuk.
Nah, gonna wait.
No, let's wait till the ninth hour. Oh,
what? Gonna risk this one.
He wanted to go. I never saw that coming.
Well, see, this is why, like, more the Lindholm thing than anything is bugging me with Conrad being like, oh, asset management. It's like, you've totally fucked that one up. Should have traded him in the summer when he declined your $72 million deal.
I guess the vibes were not immaculate enough, eh?
Yeah, vibe check. Didn't quite... Eh. This isn't worth $72 million. I don't like these vibes here. Huskus is a little bit, still a little mean. Maybe that mean vibe is still in the building a little bit.
Yeah, he just wanted to know if there was going to be any handball in practice. Maybe there's going to be some music played in practice.
Is there any popsicles involved here?
Are we blowing balloons during training? Yeah. Like, it's got to be fun, you guys.
Yeah.
Well, like you said, like, thank fucking God. Craig Connors should be thanking God that Lindholm turned that deal down. Same with what Hannifin probably turns up.
No, dude, they're still probably trying to sign him. They're still like, come on, please, I beg you. You guys love staying in Calgary, don't you? You love it here.
I can't believe how good, this is the best Hannifin has looked as a Calgary player.
Oh, that's why probably we ever. Him. So we gotta keep him.
Yeah, same with Markstrom.
He's gonna play 28 minutes a night for the next 10 years.
I swear to God, I'll tweet after and be like, "Yo, what could you get for Coleman right now? What could you get for fucking Hat? What could you get for Markstrom?
As we're in 24th
That's spot. Why you keep him. For what? You're in 24th. You suck.
It's very clear that a lot of these people don't understand investing, and it's the Flames do the opposite.
Yes,
buy high, sell low.
Buy super high. Sell. What do you mean even sell?
Yeah, you don't need to sell. You just hold it. You lose. You just go down right with the ship. Go down with that one. Yeah.
Oh, well, geez. Like, this company is going to declare bankruptcy in 4 months? I don't believe it. I'm not even going to sell it all time low. I'm going to lose it all.
Exactly. It's like you look at, and this again, like, I think they will trade Tanev, but I'm just saying, like, for people, oh, don't trade Tanev. Like, decisions like that are reasons why teams end up having to go scorched rebuild, because if you start replenishing now, you won't be so bad where you completely bottom out. Like, that's kind of what happened to the Flames last time. They were like, we're not trading anybody. Brian Burke, even to the last, I was like, Mike Camilleri, they were like, we're not trading Mike Camilleri because we need to set a precedent that we're not going to take nothing. They got nothing. He left in free agency. That was the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, totally. Fuck, that's such a Burke fucking thing to
it's
do.
It's like, from the Aginla, Bomeister, Regier era, we are left with literally absolutely dick all.
Yeah.
Like, they got, like, Chris Butler and what else for Robin Regier? I don't even remember. They got, like, some no-name guy for Bomeister. Everything they got for Aginla never amounted to zero. You can't have that again. And that's why they had to, like, kind of, that's why they were picking sixth overall for a few years.
Jeez, you sure shit hope you're, what was his title here?
Conroy?
Burke.
Burke, president of hockey operations.
You sure as shit hope your president of hockey fucking operations would have an understanding of knowing what the market is like. You don't decide the market, Brian. The market decides the market.
No.
If a guy is potentially going to walk for nothing, then you take what the market says he's worth.
No, because he proved that the Flames won't take a low ball. Then that really helped him out in future
Big
trades.
Big bad Brian Burke.
I'm sure teams went around being like, oh, we can't lowball the Flames this time.
Jesus, is there a correlation that the guy that mentored Brad Tree Living? I think we're starting to really uncover the reason why he sucked forever is. Remember if we had Feaster before this?
It's a really great succession of guys.
What does that saying go? You could fucking walk outside and throw a dart.
Yeah, you could throw a dart and hit somebody.
Hit an innocent bystander. Could have done a better job than Feaster. You've seen these little brainiac kids that do podcasts. Like, yeah, we used to work with Vivian's kid.
Yeah,
he's interviewing G. He could have. He's 8 years old. Could have done a better job.
He's
Feaster.
Like 15 now. We just need like some autistic genius to run the team.
Somebody, anybody. I think Craig might be autistic, isn't he?
I'm like autistic, but I'm not a genius.
I don't think Craig's a genius though.
Here would be a good. Here's a good. I think this should be. The Flames should like put this on a plaque and like put it all over there. An easy way to run their organization right now would be, what would Joe Sakic do? That should be the organizational mantra.
Or how about just, why do you have to complicate it when it's not actually complicated?
Oh, yeah. No. We can't call it a rebuild. Exactly. It's like, why can't you just trade some guys?
I'm not allowed to use the word rebuild.
It's even funny to see that discourse in like the media, and they're like, well, the Flames can't rebuild. Let's call it a rebuild. I don't care. Like we've said, I don't care what you fucking call it. Whatever you're doing for the past 20, 30 years has won you jack shit. So maybe it's time to like do things like slightly differently. Eh? A little bit? Huh? I think what would Joe Sakic do is a great WWJSD.
Sure. And if you're unsure of the answer, there's probably enough track record now. You can go and look at a fucking, pull up a comparable trade.
What would Joe Sakic do if he were here today? I'm sure he'd kick an ass.
Oh, wait.
That's what Joe Sakic would do.
In 2017, he actually pulled off a similar trade. What did he do? Oh. That's
interesting.
Like,
interesting how he played that.
The Oilers have the best power play in the league. Yeah, let's not do it. Let's not do what they do.
Just the exact opposite.
Ours sucks. Well, that's fine. We'll be like Brian Burke. We'll just decide that we'll hold to our guns because that's what we do. Well, we're going to risk losing everything? Well, at least we proved a point.
We proved that's all that matters in the end.
Spite, Jerry. I'll marry her if I have to.
You'll marry her out of spite? Yeah, I don't see any way around it.
We'll finish dead last if we have to. God damn it.
We'll finish dead last prove without creating anybody and sign Lindholm $72 million.
You.
And we'll sign prove Finn just out of spite. We'll prove it to you, motherfuckers, that people love playing Calgary and that we're a good team. God damn it.
We'll prove to you that you have to do whatever you have to do to manage this team. God damn it, if it takes finishing last place, that's what it takes. Okay, seriously. Tanev and Markstrom.
Well, dude, if you want to get serious about this.
How do you not want to get serious?
Markstrom and Coleman.
We know hockey games move fast. But with the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus. Age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved.
Are you telling me
your two best valued players, and if you take retention, then fucking King's ransom.
And like,
why keep Coleman at this point? Why?
Where are you going to be? And again, this is the question you need to ask yourself. Where are you going to be? This is what Conroy should be asking yourself. Is like, not where you want to be this year or next year.
Exactly.
At least four years from now.
You got to be looking at a 4 year, 3 to 5 year window. If you want to try and strike a little bit of gold, maybe in 3 years you can become relevant again. You're right. Every decision should be with that time frame in consideration. Yeah,
because
we
want to be right back at the play. Like, that is such a foul. It's going to get you into so much trouble just doing that. Well, we can do it really quick and just trade a bunch of guys and be right back at it next year. Trying to cheat. Like, if they spend as much time just, like, doing things properly and taking their time and not worrying about just making the playoffs next year or whatever and thinking only in the short term. If they just took their time and followed an action plan like the Rangers did a few years ago and just committed to it as they do, like trying to find all these shortcuts and get around all the shit and cheat their way back into being a competitive team, be so much further ahead. There's no easy way around this.
What's he got left on his deal this year and next?
I think he's got this year and two more years after this. I'm going to double check right now because I keep forgetting. So we signed him in the bubble year. And those are all just like kind of a blur to me.
Even still, dude, even if he keeps this up for two more seasons, what's the point of keeping him?
Yeah, exactly. You're just keeping what you're doing is if, okay, let's say this is a similar team next year with some younger players and you have Markstrom and he's keeping you from picking. Sit, you pick 12th instead of 6th or 7th because Markstrom was so good for 20 games of the year. That doesn't help anybody.
Dude, there's no room to grow right now. This team, what areas of improvement? You telling me if the power play is actually decent?
Dude,
are we in a playoff spot?
We're a terrible team. Like we rattled off the 5-on-5 stats at the beginning of this game. This is not a good team.
So it's not like you're going to magically just be good next year all of a sudden, although hockey is, sports are weird in general. But we were bad last year. So I think our 1-1 outing's done, dude.
Markstrom has this year and two more years after this at $6 million.
Yeah, so like same thing. 3 to 5 years, Craig. You're not looking at a 1 to 2 year decisions right now.
And Coleman has, after this year, 3 more years at 4.9, and he's 32 years old.
The age thing for me is everything.
I will go out on a limb and say this was the best Blake Coleman will ever play 100%. In his career.
He's having a career year. I agree. He's not going to be any better than this. It's kind of like the Foley last year.
Yeah.
Did not have a problem moving to Foley because of the age. Same thing. Does Coleman fit into your 3 to 5 year plan? No.
Absolutely not.
Does Markstrom fit in your 3 to 5 year plan?
That's assuming they have a 3 to 5 year plan.
Well, we know they don't. They only ever have a 1 year plan. That's it.
Exactly. Let's see what happens next year. We'll be right back in it. Huberto's going to bounce back. Hubie's going to bounce back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. Is anybody still banking on this one? Fuck me, dude.
Well, I think there was like a week there where he went like what? He had like.
Well, when he changed his hockey tape, yeah.
Yeah, he had like 11. He had like 11 points in 10 games or something.
He probably realized it wasn't the hockey tape, and then now he sucks again.
It was like the reverse magic.
He's so ineffective.
Yeah, he's so bad.
It's like, dude, Toronto game, Oilers game.
That Oilers game isn't. See, that's okay.
Could you elevate for a shift? Could you fucking dominate for one shift? I get it. Yeah, you can make the odd nifty play. And he has been passing the puck and he's been finding way more players in open spots. He's been making some really good passes. But that's where it ends.
That's it.
And it's like, dude, you make 10 and a half mil. You better sure as shit be owning the ice on maybe not even necessarily a shift to shift. I know it's way too much to ask. How about like 3 shifts a game?
How about nightly?
Yeah, 3 shifts a game. Remember Johnny Gaudreau?
Yeah, I was like, wow, Johnny's been quiet tonight. Couple shifts. Whoa.
Remember Matthew Tkachuk? Remember Sean Monahan? Like these guys would elevate on a nightly basis. And when they were on fire, it was like every shift they were fucking doing something.
There's nothing I cannot stand more than these players who shrink against the Oilers. I can't stand it. Like
shrink ever. Why do you shrink like, ever?
The two games against the Oilers this year have been the most depressing because it just shows you like, oh man, this is sometimes this year you've got a bit of glimmer of hope where it's like, yeah. And then you played those two games against the Oilers are like the most lifeless, pathetic efforts.
Well, even the Oilers don't care about beating us that much anymore.
Oh, yeah. They're saying, whatever. It's another game.
These guys are fucking a bunch of
So parents. I can't even hate them that much right now. I'm just like, yeah, you guys are so much better than us. I can't even hate on you.
Go ahead. Win the fucking cup. See if I care.
Yeah. Whatever.
Just remind me how fucking terrible we are.
It's like that Stranger Things quote. He's like, you want the hurt because the hurt means you're in it. Now it's like, eh. Oilers win. Yeah, big deal. McDavid's ugly, sure.
Oh, yeah, everybody knew we were going to lose. So
15,000 Oilers fans in the saddle alone. Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, sure. Tell us about how we suck. We know.
We suck.
Not going to deny it. Are they – look, I don't know, man. What do you think of the Oilers? Because I know that we were all jizzing our pants at the beginning of the season because that was fucking
– That was incredible.
That was amazing, them sucking. Didn't they already go on a tear? Like 8 in a row or some shit? And then they lost 3 in a row.
Yeah, they were turning it around there right after they fired what did we used to call them?
Peanuts. Teeth McGee. He's wearing zombie teeth. You know when it's Halloween, you put little fakes out of teeth. Now we can't even fucking make fun of Knob Dollar because he's fucking
a little dork.
Set an NHL record. How do you like this? This is like quintessential Oilers, anything under Connor McDavid, the fucking next coming of Wayne Gretzky. Knob Dollar. This guy's never coached an NHL before. Comes in, but he's got looks Connor McDavid.
Looks like he should be freaking knocking door to door telling people what the good news of Jesus Christ with a...
Or Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah.
Something of the effect. This comes in there and now he's coaching to an NHL record. Like, give me a fucking break, dude. I'm so sick of these pukes. So sick of them.
They're so good, too. It's...
Here's the... And I know I'm starting to mentally prepare. I already bet on the Oilers to win the Cup.
Nice.
Actually, before they win on their heater. So even if they do win, I'm cashing in, folks.
Well, hey, people rip on it. We hate the Oilers, but like when they were going through, we were laughing at them, but we were saying, right, like as if they're not going to go on a tear. And wouldn't you bet your life that McDavid is going to win the scoring race?
Even in their darkest of hours this season, I predicted they'd still come back and make the playoffs. They're shooting. Yeah. Look at the fucking Pacific, how weak it is. I still think McDavid will catch Kucherov.
Oh, yeah, he's totally going to catch him. Are you kidding me?
But here's the shimmer of hope that I have, and it's a good one. The Avs are they just as good? McKinnon, I mean, the spitting chicklets threw the stat up there. If you go back one calendar year, McKinnon leads the league in points.
Remember when Monahan beat McKinnon to 200 goals?
Yeah, dude.
Dude, I saw a stat.
We're just such a sad, depressing.
Monahan would be third on our team in scoring, by the way.
Why do we have to be the victims of fucking terrible management?
Third. We traded him away for a first round pick, and he has more points than everyone on our team but two guys. Anyways.
And we're the ones that played him to the ground.
Yeah.
Like, it's like such a fucking farce, man, is what it is. Like, we have shitty management. That's. What, since was it Cliff Fletcher left?
Pretty much. Maybe Daryl, you give Daryl a few years there where.
Yeah, but even Daryl didn't know
he lost his mind towards the end.
No. Stick to the bench, Daryl. But glimmer of hope is, are the Avs as good as they're looking fucking phenomenal.
Well,
McKinnon is on another level right now.
Yeah.
Like, if the Avs played, and isn't Rantanen just coming back now?
Well, in playoffs, apparently Landeskog is skating again, I think.
That's who it is, Landeskog. Rantanen's playing, right?
The thing that you always forget about the playoffs is that every year everyone forgets that the playoffs are a totally different beast. Yeah. Every year everyone forgets. You know, you're always like, oh, this team, the most skilled team, oh, their role. It's like the playoffs are a different beast. It's what separates the boys from the men, and the men always win. Always.
And we just know there are a bunch of whiny little babies there.
Yeah. So even if they get to like a conference final and they play Colorado, I don't know. I still think, well, I still hope. I'm holding out hope.
Well, here's the thing, man. This is my glimmer of hope.
And they do that. They did this last year too. They didn't go like on a record, but they had a huge, they were on an absolute tear.
Yeah. There's a lot of things actually, lots of positives here. They're peaking now.
Yeah. Which
is not even, is it halfway through the season? Just.
Almost.
Basically halfway through the season, you're peaking. Which means they're not going to address goaltending. They're not going to not going to address defense, which are going to be their two weakest areas going into the playoffs.
Yeah, so
they're not going to address them. What'd you hear?
I heard Elliot talking about this today. They were like, oh, what do you think Ken Holland's thinking? And he's like, well, he's thinking, just don't disturb anything. And I was like, perfect.
Exactly. Perfect. So this is perfect timing. Skinner's been great now. We saw it, dude. Skinner's at best, good to sometimes can play really good goalie.
He's probably a Mike Smith without the insane gap. Mike Smith level.
He's never gonna be a great goalie. I'll go on the record right now and say that.
It's good enough.
So you have that going for you. The whole peaking too soon thing, and meaning they're not gonna really think they need to address much, and then watch after the trade deadline, they might kind of stumble for a bit. You do not want them to get hot at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Let them get as hot as fuck they want now. The other thing is, I looked at the teams that they've beaten during this. Is it 16 games now? 16-game winning streak?
Yeah, it wasn't great.
The opponents suck. Here's the opponents that they've beaten in this 16-game winning streak.
I feel like we've lost all of these teams this year, by the way.
Oh, yes, it just tells you how bad we suck. Nashville, currently out of a playoff spot. Chicago, dead last. Columbus, bottom five. Calgary, should be bottom five without a Vezina-caliber goaltender. Seattle, not very good this season. Toronto, during their four-game losing skid when they were fucking blowing leads, and that's exactly what they did against the Oilers. Montreal, are they in the playoffs? Detroit, slightly above average team. Chicago again. Ottawa, can't fucking pull anything together. Philadelphia, they're in a playoff spot, but it's Philadelphia.
Like it's pretty mid team.
Pretty mid.
Anaheim. Like we can't beat them, but you know.
Anaheim, the sliding LA Kings, San Jose, New Jersey Devils, who are not in a playoff spot this season, don't have their shit going together, have terrible goaltending. The only legit team that was good when they played them on this list that they beat was the New York Rangers. That's it. Like, I don't want this to go, you know, crazy where they use something like this as fuel. But if you're really looking at this, it's like, dude, that's not a very impressive list of teams. Like, if this is scattered throughout the season, they should win. They should easily have won 14 out of 16 of these games. Good teams would do that. Are they a good team? Yes, we know they're a good team. Can they be on the cusp of great? Yes, we know. But we know they have their flaws. And this is probably a good thing that they're right now they're going to ignore those flaws because I think probably they're going to get a bit cocky. That's what these greasers fucking
they
do.
They always do that. They always get cocky.
It's in their fucking DNA.
It's in their neckbeard.
They can't
strands.
Help themselves. It's in their neckbeard strands. And the other thing, too, is like, the other thing, there's two more things. There's a lot of good things here. You always hear this time and time again. Oh, yeah, fuck, all those one-goal games, that's going to really pay off in the playoffs. Oh, yeah, we had to grind out wins. We had to scratch and claw just to get into the playoffs. We're playoff ready. When you go on a roll like this, it can have a tendency to soften your mind. And sure, you can always pull back and draw from it later in the season. But yeah, you guys, let's pull it together. We want to, like, we're good. It's going to give them confidence moving forward. But, like, look at those teams, dude. Like, if you add up the average of the winning percentage of the teams that they went on a roll against, what are they? Are they, like, around 4.2? 4.20? They're not good teams. I looked at the rest of their schedule. They have an easy schedule from here on out. The Flames do too. That doesn't help us. But they got 37 games left. Of the 37, 26 are against not good teams. There's only 11 games out of those 37 remaining where they played teams that own one of those top three divisional playoff spots. So are they going to be cocky, confident, rolling into the playoffs? Yeah. I mean, it's the Oilers. They would be anyways. But are they going to be battle-tested? Tested? Fuck no, dude.
Yeah.
And so there's that aspect. And then I look at, there's some really good teams in the West. Like, you saw the Jets, they swept the Oilers, what was it, three seasons ago? Fuck, was that delicious?
That was amazing.
The Jets are way better now than they were then. And they got Rick Bonus. Dude, with Jake Oettinger, the Dallas Stars, and we didn't suck that series, the Dallas Stars, under that style of play, almost beat us. Well, came down, could have been one bounce. You get one bounce in overtime, they could have beat us in the first round. And we were playing Daryl Sutter hockey, man. Like Dave Bonus knows how to fucking.
Do you remember those? Do you remember those shots in those games? It was like, I remember the in the overtime in Game 7. It was like the Flames had like 127 shot attempts, and the Stars had like 70 or maybe even 60. And I was like, they're still almost winning that game.
So if the Oilers have to play the Jets, I would probably put money on the Jets, to be honest. And I would obviously put money on the Oilers because I'd be happy either way. Well, I wouldn't be happy, but at least it.
You'll never be happy, but at least you'll have more money.
At least it would ease the suffering slightly. Same thing with the Avalanche, dude. If Landeskog comes back, Makar is healthy, the Avs look good right now. They're a juggernaut again. They have the pedigree. They've done it. If the Avs play the Oilers, I could easily put money on the Avs. Stars could probably beat the Oilers.
Yeah, I like the Stars.
Grind them down, wear them down. Canucks. I think the Canucks actually might have more skill.
Can actually go toe-to-toe with a team like that. Did you see them come back against Columbus? Holy crap.
They got a better goaltender.
Well, that's the common denominator on a lot of these teams is they have
fucking
better goaltending.
Fucking Santana backed the Canucks.
Totally.
So with all these things, you know, like, yes, am I mentally preparing for the worst? Yeah, you bet. Yeah, I am. But at the same time, I'm also gearing up for my favorite time of year.
Like that, you look at their
Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl going down,
getting down in the playoffs. I mean, you still look at their blue line, and their blue line is still like Cody Ceci and Nurse, and like I know Ekholm was in a beast for them, and Bouchard's been a real, but it's still like it's like Nurse, Cody Ceci, Brett Kulak, Desharnais. Like it's still a very poor blue line outside of those two guys. So
dude, let them roll to Kingdom Come right now. Who gives a fuck? Like, again, injuries? Have they dealt with any injury issues yet?
Well, McDavid was hurt at the beginning of the year, but...
And then they sucked. God-awful terrible. What do you think of the Perry signing?
He's... I don't know. We've talked about this before, and I was like, the Flames should sign Perry. If we're going to have dummies like Lucic and whatever, we should have guys that at least score and are good on the power play. Like, he was actually having a pretty good season in Chicago. I remember watching that like Leafs game in front of the net. I kind of like it, but at the same time, it's like he's slow. I don't think that's really what that team needs. Do you
see the thing about Perry at this late in his career?
If it was like 2 years ago,
is he gonna make them better? I think on some nights, could he make them worse on some nights? Yeah, is he going to be a net win? Probably a little bit. Does he move the needle? I don't know if he necessarily moves the needle. He might win you a couple playoff games. He's got that in him. I know that. Same thing with Joe Pavelski. These guys don't age in that regard. So that scares me. He might win you one or two games. He might score an overtime winner. I could see that easily happening. So if that has enough to sway a series, then yeah, that's not good. But we'll see what happens. I mean, the other thing is like...
Yeah, dude is only a year removed from putting up 19 goals with the Lightning and 40 points. So, like, man, he could still be a difference maker.
Still scoring more than Huberto, eh? The other thing is...
He had three less goals than Huberto last year.
Knob Gobbler has had zero adversity yet.
You get into those playoff series, then it's just
Even like, let's see how the rest of the season plays out.
Yeah.
This guy is just like cruising, hasn't faced any adversity. You know the Oilers are going to have adversity at some point. You don't just cruise this early on in the season to the fucking finish line. It just doesn't happen. So maybe this is actually a really good thing. They're having all the success now. I'm going to fuck with them a little bit later.
Sure hope so.
Sure hope so. All right, back to the Flames.
It's really the only thing keeping me alive is the idea of them crashing and burning. So,
well, that's our only chance of satisfaction all season long. That and maybe Craig fucking...
Nailing a Lindholm trade or something.
He's got to nail a couple, dude. You have unbelievable trade chips. You have...
Dude.
Like, when was the last time you had, what, four?
You have the best trade. You have the best trade chips of anyone at the deadline in like, I can't even remember. Like, this is incredible. You have a guy who's a Selke-nominated center, a 26-year-old defenseman, and one of the best defensive defensemen in the league in Chris Tanev.
A guy built for playoff hockey.
Is there a guy you'd want more on your team if you're a contender looking to add to your blue line than Chris Tanev? Are you kidding me?
No. You got Noah Hanifin, who's on a great deal currently. Sure, yeah, you want to re-sign him, and maybe it's a sign and trade, but dude, Noah Hanifin, for all the shit I've talked about Noah Hanifin since we've been doing this podcast, so 5 years now, I haven't talked shit about him this year. It's like he's elevated above his stupidity. He skates so well. I haven't seen a defenseman skate like him since who?
Although, I will say on the nights when they play the Oilers, I'm like, fuck. McDavid flew by him a couple times in that game, and it was just like, holy smokes.
Yeah, skates like the wind, moves the puck like the wind. If only he could his shot.
If only he could just, if only he.
He's like, creating chances all the fucking time. Like, if you're a scout of the game, you're probably like, shit, man, this Hanifin guy's fucking good. If
only he had just a, his IQ was just like a few points higher.
If only he could snipe. If he could make a few, like, I'm not talking, you know, Quinn Hughes can make a fucking dazzling, dangerous.
Just hit the net, bro.
8 out of 10 times, or just make an unreal pass. Hanifin can do that 1 out of 20 if he's lucky and he flukes out when he does it. Like, if he can do it even 5 times out of 10, motherfucker would have 80 points with the rest of his skill set. So I don't know if there's a way to extract more from him if you put him with a higher skill. Maybe if you play with a guy like Quinn Hughes, I don't know.
Yeah,
I think Hanifin is an incredible asset on any team that's heading in the right direction. Maybe not on a cup contender, but yeah. You trade him to a team that's heading in the right direction.
That's why I see a lot of these trade proposals, like, and it's hard to calibrate, like, you know, our perception of what a guy's worth versus what is actually on the marketplace versus what, like, GMs think. Like, if you were asking, I think the majority of Flames fans who watch the Flames every night would say you should, value-wise, get way more for Hanifin than would Lindholm.
Yeah, but not much. Depends what your needs are. Because Lindholm, dude.
Like Hanifin, you're saying, he's headed in the right direction. He's probably a core piece of a team for the next 3 to 4 years.
Yeah. But the thing with Lindholm, dude, there's so much of a higher upside.
Yeah, Lindholm let's win a Stanley Cup right now.
Well, if Hanifin, what you see is what you get, what I just rattled off. Like Lindholm, even though he's been underperforming, you already know if you stick him with a playmaker, the guy can score 40. If he's in an environment where he gives a fuck, because he sure as shit doesn't give a fuck in Calgary, I don't blame him. But same thing. If you put him in the right environment.
Poor guy has to hop over the doors with you, hope where the boards with Huberto. He's like, fuck.
In the right environment with the right players. I don't think,
dude,
Lindholm as a hockey player has gotten any worse. He's still got 30 goal scoring ability in him.
You look at if he could slide in on a team like the Avs and just hop on their top power play unit with Rantanen and McKinnon and Makar.
Exactly.
Give me a frickin' like that so guy.
I think depending on the team's needs that is interested in either one of these guys, like. Sure, maybe net, you know, across the league, you can net a bit more for Hanifin. But, dude, if you need a second line centerman with scoring ability that can stick with a playmaker, fuck, he could be more value than Hanifin on a number of teams.
Imagine him sliding into Boston's top six, like Dallas even.
Dude, Vegas. He's gonna score 8 to 10 power play goals, playoff goals if you go on a deep run in that scenario that we just painted out.
If I, you know who the team that if I'm like serious about shit, I'm getting Elias Lindholm is Florida Panthers.
100%.
Can you imagine?
You know what I'm realizing that this is going to turn into for us. As the season draws to a conclusion and the playoffs start, it's all going to be about watching X-Flames players.
Absolutely. And I'm going to do it I'm going to do it with like glee and be like, go Lindholm. Fuck yeah.
And could you imagine if one of these X-Flames players does play Edmonton?
Oh, it'd be great.
Like the stakes will be the investment, the emotional investment. Like it'll be happy to watch hockey again.
That's kind of sad too. Like, right?
It is fucking sad. The point where like
we want to release these poor guys. Go off, dude.
Could you imagine cheering Tanabon? Could you imagine cheering Tanabon to win a Stanley Cup?
Watching Zadorov.
That would be fucking awesome.
David in a playoff series, even though he tried that before. Can you imagine watching? Let's say Lindholm. Can you imagine watching Kachuk and Bennett and Lindholm win a cup together? Probably cry.
Awesome. Did you hear that Vancouver singing about trading Zadorov though?
Yeah, so I heard they're looking to get rid of to move some cap space, and that he was maybe one of the guys they were gonna move out.
Dude, if it means bringing in Tanev, why wouldn't you?
They're an interesting team. They could use Tanev. Even Lindholm on Vancouver, he'd fit in.
Oh my god, dude! Lindholm on Vancouver, I think
he'd fit in very well.
You easily can go toe to toe scoring with the Oilers. I mean, currently you probably can add Lindholm to the mix.
I think Lindholm would be a great add to like, and I think you kind of expect Lindholm to be like, because I wouldn't be surprised a team get him and play him on the wing, because I think that's where he was the most effective still, like playing with two really offensive talented players in Gaudreau and Monahan and being like a defensive player on that team, on that line while still scoring. I think that's the best role for him. So I could see a team like putting him on the right wing as well. Like, can you imagine like if you're Vancouver, you're rolling Pettersson, JT Miller, Brock Besser, and Elias Lindholm in your top six?
Fuck.
Like, come on.
Dude, imagine Lindholm with Pettersson.
Pettersson and Lindholm, like, fuck. Give me a break. I'm looking at their top. Like, I haven't watched a lot of Canucks games, but I think he's been playing with Makhachev and Kuzmenko. You're telling me Elias Lindholm isn't a huge upgrade on Ilya Makhachev with his countrymen?
Well, dude, apparently Kuzmenko is in the trade talks, too. Imagine getting Kuzmenko for Lindholm.
If you could get, what would you want for Lindholm? Yes, please. I've seen a bunch of trade. The Athletic had an article today about like trade returns for Lindholm, trade comparables, and I'm having a hard time gauging what, because I think we're all in agreement that if the Flames don't do anything, they're trading Lindholm, right?
Dude, if they don't, I'm fucking, I'm so done.
There's no way they don't.
I can't. I will boycott. Like, I'm done. If they don't trade Lindholm,
the Athletic put out some trade.
If they don't trade Lindholm, yeah. What the fuck are we all even doing?
Exactly.
Watching this shit.
The Athletic had a.
We could get a first and.
I do Hoglander in that for Lindholm. Kuzmenko is older than you. I was like, oh yeah, Kuzmenko. He's like 27, I think.
Well, then who's the guy? Is it Hoglander or Kuzmenko?
Hoglander. I think so they've been talking both.
Well, yeah, either or. I think they're both fucking.
How about
great.
Both? The Athletic. Here's some Athletic trade proposals for Lindholm today. Julian McKenzie. Yep. To Boston for their first, the 2025 first, Matt Pautrast and Trent Frederick. Yeah. I would take that and run to the fucking hills.
I don't know who those guys are, but I'll
try. Colorado's, I'd take this and run to the hills too. Callum Ritchie is their top prospect and a first, and Logan O'Connor.
Well, Dallas, Byron.
Yeah, Dallas is. The thing is, like, the possibilities could be endless if Craig nails this, you know? I think whatever you'd be getting back for Lindholm. Should be really a great package and something that you can build on for sure. Even if you compare it to like the Bo Horvat deal, what they got, and just don't fuck it up, Craig.
I don't think you will. I don't think you'll fuck up Lindholm.
The thing is, deadline deals are like, the prices are always insane unless you're Brian Burke trying to trade Mike Camilleri. And apparently you're like, oh, I'm not going to trade in a low market. But you always forget, like, teams are so much more willing to go nuts at the trade deadline, you know? Like, again, you look at what Nashville did last trade deadline. Like, trade deadline prices are always so insane. that even though Lindholm's having a shitty season, you should still be able to absolutely nail this. Shouldn't you?
Yes. He's a good player.
Is there a better player available than Elias Lindholm?
You hear all these scouts at all these games, right? And then you watch our players like, fuck, Lindholm sucks tonight. But I think even regardless, you know, kind of what I rattled off earlier, I know Lindholm has it in him. I know he can play at that level. We've seen him. I know he can perform at that level in the right environment. And I think probably enough NHL scouts. Is it not obvious? The guy can play. You see him, he makes a couple like crazy awesome plays throughout the game when he wants to. Like, that's the main thing. And if you look back in his career, when did he want to? When the team was good and he had good line mates. And it was like fucking, right?
His goal scoring, get your spots
and bury it.
Exactly. His goal scoring is like generally predicated on playing with talent, but it's more like that's an added bonus. Like, he's still a extremely toolsy and useful. He's an all situations player. He plays top penalty kill. He 100%. Plays top power play. He plays hard minutes five on five.
Defensively responsible.
And if you put him with a skilled player, he can absolutely bury shit. So
yeah, even though he's having a shitty season, like, I still think his trade value should be high.
It should be high. It should net the Flames a great package.
That's a good article. Did they do any other players?
They did. What else did they do? They did Winnipeg for their 2024 first, Chaz Lucas and Mason Appleton. They did Vegas for like Brett Howden, and I don't know if Vegas has the assets to do it.
Dude, I think there's 10 teams on Tanev.
Yeah, like, come on, let the bidding begin. Craig should just, like, be sitting there like,
this shit's done. Dude, you got nothing better to do.
Yeah.
Your team is on a hiatus. What is it, eight days off? The Super Bowl is not till 2 weeks, right? Don't they have 2 weeks now? He's got nothing to fucking do. Be on the phones.
Don't talk to Brad.
No, you have to fucking use Brad as a
fucking... Use Brad as bait. You got to use him as... Drive the price up.
Yeah, you got to use him as pawn. Oh, fuck this. I'm not going to say who, but here, this guy is... He's always been on it.
He's really hardworking.
He tells us he's going to be on this till the end. That's what he's saying.
Fucking loser.
I don't know. This is funny, man, because, I mean, since we've done this podcast, we've never been in this situation.
We've never had it be A, so clear, and B, have the such high value assets at the trade deadline. Like
you said, like, fucking, if you sold all these guys, Markstrom, Hanifin, Tanev, Lindholm, who am I missing?
Coleman, maybe.
Coleman. Could you imagine what your team would be in 5 years? Like, you could, with those five chips, what could you bring back?
Which aren't even, like, which are pretty, like, that's what I said. Like, Blake Coleman, 32 years old, a guy you sign in free agency. You can turn him into something franchise-altering, potentially, if it worked out.
None of these guys are in your 3 to 5 year plan.
You have to be considering it.
Fuck, I would just do it all, dude.
Like, with Dallas?
With the bullshit, like, I've been fucking watching?
Yeah, exactly. Like, again, what are you sacrificing, right? Like, that's what you want to give up, is this shit?
This fucking, maybe if we fucking...
So sick of that.
Luke out, we'll make the playoffs. I think they did themselves a favor, man. Like, they... Okay, on the last podcast, I said this straight up. Because they had just lost to the Maple Leafs. I'm like, okay, watch. They're going to lose to Edmonton. That's a given. They'll probably lose to St. And I knew they weren't going to lose to Chicago again, because they don't do that. Even though they probably should have lost that game. Five fucking breakaways. All they needed to do was score on two of those. Because we couldn't score more than one goal against the Chicago fucking Blackhawks.
Chicago's like, we're just going to stretch them out, because they're just giving us breakaways all night. Husk is sitting there like, with lollipops, not paying attention.
Just fucking checking out his chrome dome in the mirror. What's his deal?
picking out his next sweater.
I'm starting to like him less and less, dude, as the season goes on. I'm not going to lie.
He's not very likable, I got to tell you.
Like, what does he do?
Probably like a decently nice guy, but.
What are you doing for us, pal? What? How are you moving the needle?
He's nice.
He's a nice guy.
I mean, I guess the players like him. I guess he's
The players don't cry when they go to bed anymore.
The player's self-esteem is an all-time high.
Yeah, it's a big improvement from where we've been. They don't want to kill themselves.
Yeah, they don't want to. They don't. Yeah, exactly. They're not on prescription medication.
They don't cry themselves to sleep anymore. Oh, fucking Daryl, I love you. But it's like, I don't know. I guess he's the interim guy right now. Like I guess he has nowhere to go but up. Is he going to grow with the team?
I feel like at this point, you probably just should have hired Mitch Love.
No shit, eh? What's the difference? I mean, you rattle off. Okay, how do you evaluate a coach? Is it the team 5-on-5 metrics? Is it the overall team success? Is it both?
Well, I think it's a lot. I think it's all of those things.
So by all fucking measurements, guy stinks.
Yeah, and you watch the team, like they don't play, like how do they play? Like the way they manufacture offense, that's the thing that I've been like, hey, what the fuck? Because that's all we heard, right, all offseason. Oh, we're going to be more creative. We're going to have blah, 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 blah. It's like you're just freaking lobbing shots from the outside again.
And look, by all metrics, so I say he stinks now, but look, I don't mind.
The team is bad enough where given it's like, where you're whatever.
Yeah, given where you're at, if it is a 3 to 5 year plan, which should be, then sure, give him 3 months.
Honestly,
years.
Having
he's
a coach,
only gonna get better. He's only gonna get better.
Having a coach like Daryl somehow squeeze a playoff spot out of this team would probably only further take this team down the shitter. So
he's terrible.
I still say give him I said this all last year and people were like so mad. I was like, you should probably get to Jack Adams, to be honest, for how he's coached the team that lost two of the best players in the league and still almost got them to the playoffs.
And your fucking guy, you replace your 115 point guy with scored what? 50 points?
Exactly.
The biggest fucking drop off in NHL history.
Trade Coleman to Dallas. He's from Texas. Now is the time.
No fucking brainer. Load up everybody in the West. Load up everybody in the West. Don't trade one guy to the East.
Coleman to Dallas. Lindholm to Colorado. Dallas. Tanev to Vancouver.
Tanev to Winnipeg, I would say.
What else we got? Hanifin to...
Hanifin would be good in Boston, dude.
He's maybe the only guy you go East.
Yeah, like send him East.
Yeah, he's a dumb American. Oilers have been dummying him anyways.
At the end of the day, he's a dumb American. Yeah, we don't want, he wouldn't help you against the Oilers.
Yeah. McDavid's dummying him way too many times already anyways.
McDavid's licking his chops when he's 55.
Then Markstrom, I guess maybe, I don't know why, like I guess Talbot and Riddick have been okay there, but I don't know what is ailing the Kings.
Yeah, what is Elon? Well, what made them so good in the last two, three seasons? That was the biggest thing for me is why are they good? Kempe, well, I guess, has been injured, eh?
They were good last year, but they came out like this year and were just like, holy shit, like
they're on a tear. Whoa. 20 games in.
The PLD edition has been an absolute disaster, and especially since they gave up Velarde, who's a really good player. I don't know. They're kind of
They're harder to play against. Maybe PLD will injure McDavid in the playoff match.
I hope so.
Fuck, would that be worth it, eh?
Do you trade? Maybe they'll take Huberto for. I wouldn't want. Well, yeah, dude, for Huberto, I would.
Look, I've never wanted to see a guy get injured before. This is new for me. Like, you're laughing, but I'm serious.
Are you kidding me?
I legit want to see him get injured. I don't know what's wrong with me. I need some help.
No, you don't.
No? Normal?
I think most people want this. They're just too ashamed to say it or scared.
Well, I'm not bashful in this sense. I'll tell you right now.
Oh, I don't ever want to see anybody get hurt. Yeah, I want to see Connor get asked. I want to see Connor get Scott Stevened more than anything. How much?
I want to see him non-hockey related get injured. Eh? Don't even give him that satisfaction. Just walking down the street and bam.
Slip on his icy driveway in Edmonton.
Forgot to turn the heater on one day.
Yep.
Oops.
Probably automatic, but if you stepped out on the sidewalk where the rest of the peasants go, he forgot what it was like for a second.
I guess they've got Arvidsson out too, LA, so that's a big, but I don't know what's wrong with them. It's weird because they looked like such a wagon, and then it's just like,
man, like they.
I still think they're playing good hockey, just kind of like looking at some of their numbers, but.
After they failed to close it out with the Oilers last year, I fucking hate them now.
Yeah, that's yeah, and remember watching that game? They gave exactly. They freaking gave the Oilers every opportunity. Yeah, they gave that series to the Oilers. So,
but still, you want them in the playoffs because, like, St. Louis.
Yeah, I don't think
St. Louis. I mean, swift work of us though, didn't they?
Hey, maybe Binnington can go on like an autistic, mad, crazy four games. Oh, dude, I don't know. Binnington's definitely autistic. Have you seen this guy?
Remember Nikolai Habibulin, dude? Was that guy autistic?
No, I think he was just like drunk.
Remember that Twitch? Looked pretty autistic to me. No. Oh, God. All right. McDavid, Draisaitl. Someone's got to get injured, dude.
Who does Vancouver want? Yeah, I think Lindholm could be good either way. And Colorado, Vancouver, take your pick. I think he'd be great on the Avs. I think that's where he should go.
That's where he should go for sure. Imagine McKinnon and or fucking Rantanen.
Well, I mean, but the allure of him playing with Pettersson, though, like that seems insane to me. Now that I'm thinking about that.
True. Yeah, that could be like the next Johnny because Pettersson can fucking.
Oh, Pettersson's insane, man. But who wouldn't want the guy? Like, I'm even looking at New York. Like, frick, he'd fit in brilliantly there. You could run Zibanejad, Lindholm, Trocheck down the middle. Come on. I'm glad for Lindholm that he's going to go somewhere and have
just go west, man. I'm going to hard. I won't cheer for him as much in the east.
If he was on Florida, I would. But anywhere else, no.
Fuck. We're already talking playoffs, eh?
Oh, playoffs are awesome. Like, you imagine playing, like, Dallas is so deep, man. Like, if he's playing, like, second line with Matt Duchene and Mason Marchman or something.
Honestly, dude, Dallas might be the best place for him to go because they're low-key grind-out games.
Yeah, yeah. And he'd fit in there.
You just need that one extra game-breaker.
Rupe Hintz.
What about Markstrom?
Well, he feels kind of like an East guy, but...
I feel like there's a lot of teams that need
okay, so according to Elliot, the Flames are, and we've heard this a little bit before, not it's the asking price would be astronomical, but the Flames are apparently very sensitive about even bringing it up with Markstrom. So
why?
It's exactly like, it's kind of like why? A thing where it's like,
what do you owe the guy?
They've put it out there that like, okay, if you're going to propose a trade, reason... it needs to be insane for us to even like go to him and discuss it.
Who cares? Hey, you fucking sucked last year. You're the number one reason why we missed the fucking playoffs. If you had made five fucking saves, we would have made it.
I don't understand this, like letting the play, like, the players are running this organization.
It's apparently a good thing Huberto's not up because they wouldn't let him go either, right?
Yeah, we don't want to upset him. We don't want to put him off.
Wouldn't want to hurt his feelings, eh?
Wouldn't want to hurt that little... Like, these guys are professional athletes. This is a ridiculous way to be doing things.
Markstrom, you're the only guy sewering us right now.
Here's the stop phone playing call. So well. Markstrom, we're willing to...
What is Markstrom doing? He thinks we're going to make the playoffs? So he's going to play like Dominic Hasek every fucking night? Fuck you. Fuck. Trade him. Like, seriously, get with the program.
I know. Like, figure it out. Holy shit. But, like, stop, I don't understand so that.
Fucking asshole. Wrong year.
He still thinks it's last year. He probably just has, like, selective dementia and still thinks he's playing in, like, the Dallas playoff series or something.
Markstrom's such a beauty, though. Did you watch that documentary with Elliot? where they were in Stockholm.
Oh, yeah, he's great. Oh, and that's the thing, too. Like, he wants to win. Like, have you seen a guy who wants to win more? He
put him on a good team.
Does he want to waste away here for 2 more years?
Can Toronto
and
pull
see,
it off?
That's
is
what
there, is there any way Toronto could get Markstrom?
Believe in the group. Brad's probably believing
dude,
in Sonov now.
All you need is a fucking... They should.
The fact that Flames are so tiptoeing around this just indicates to me that they fully intend on, like, yeah, we're going to be good again next year. No problem.
God,
Markstrom's our number one.
We got McKenzie.
We got Peter. He's good. But if I'm Markstrom, maybe he's just as delusional as the Flames. Like, I guess.
No, he is.
Like,
look at him.
Obviously likes it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He's playing out of his mind when we're... He obviously likes it here, but, like, he's super competitive. You think he'd be looking at this being like, fuck this.
No, probably not. He plays better. He's not super competitive. He only plays good when he's on shitty teams. He's a fucking idiot. Legit. Except for that 1 year.
But
he probably thought we were bad.
Are we bad? Yeah, I remember we thought we were bad too, and then they were unreal.
We were bad, but Daryl made us fucking great.
The thing is, like, I don't understand why it's not just, yeah, he's make me an offer. Who cares? What is this taking? Oh, we let the players are deciding. Oh, why? What are you talking about?
Look, they've already decided.
It's insane.
The decision's been made.
That is an insane way. Oh, we don't want to disturb Markstrom? Why? For what purpose?
Disturb him from what?
We don't want to bring it up with him. It's a sensitive issue. Sensitive issue?
What, running a fucking business? A fucking billion-dollar business is a sensitive issue? What are you doing there then? I swear, man. Like, if these guys, if half these guys, you're looking at fucking Don Maloney and what's the other one?
Dave Nonis.
Yeah, Nonis. If these guys applied for jobs elsewhere in the world,
you couldn't manage Arby's.
Fucking Home Depot wouldn't hire these fucking idiots.
Kruger, my son says your company stinks. You couldn't smooth a silk sheet. That's what it's like, though.
This guy, fucking Don Maloney, couldn't even fix me a hot dog properly. Dave Nonis would eat the fucking thing.
No.
I think, dude, honestly.
Again, what would Joe Sakic do? Matt Duchene wants
to. Here's the thing.
Fuck you, yes. Matt Duchene. I will trade you on my terms and I will get an absolute haul for you. Joe Sakic wouldn't do this nonsense.
Here's the thing. Go down the line. Markstrom, do you fit into the 3 to 5 year plan?
Exactly.
No. Trade you now. Tanev, do you fit into the 3 to 5 year plan? No. Trade you now. Coleman, do you fit into the 3 or 5 year plan? Meh. No. Trade you now. Hanifin, do you fit into the 3 to 5 year plan? Potentially. But not for the price that I gotta fucking pay you. Trade you now. Who's the fifth guy? Lindholm, obviously, that's a no fucking brainer. Isn't fit into the next year plan either. If I'm Craig Connery, what could I fucking get for these five players? You could get so much, dude. Your 3 to 5 year plan would be looking fucking golden.
And again, like, remember where you were at with Markstrom last year was like, most Flames fans couldn't even fathom being able to trade him, let alone being able to get something for him. I mean, that's how bad he was.
That's why you got to keep him.
It's insane. Like, think about Joe Sakic. So, like, what is Darcy Kember? How long was it before he was like, remember the Avs win the cup? And he, like, cut half the guys loose. He was like, I'm not signing you. Nope. See ya.
Yep. You don't fit into the fucking whatever plan I'm on.
The Flames are like, oh, I don't want to hurt your feelings.
Yeah, exactly. That's literally what they're saying.
How do you feel, Jonathan? Okay, we'll fire the coach. Oh, well, Jacob doesn't really want us to discuss it, though. Joe Sakic is like, fuck you, get out of here. We're on to the next. Next. Who's up next? Let's go. We're winning Stanley Cups here.
That's how you keep your job as a general manager. Success.
Well, and it's like the guy in Tampa Bay who's been ruthless. And it's not about being a complete dick, but you have to be ruthless. You can't be like these nice guys. I don't like hearing things.
Look, you've already nailed this, dude. It's not even about being ruthless. Good management?
Yeah.
Bad management.
Bad management. Teams want Jacob Markstrom.
That's literally what it comes down to.
We don't want to disturb Jacob Markstrom. So.
And we could get a fucking... Dude, he might bring you the biggest haul out there.
Like...
And why wouldn't you?
Where's New Jersey at?
We're not going to be good in the next 1 to 2 years. Then his contract's over. So why are you going to keep him around?
Who needs a goalie right now? New Jersey needs a goalie.
Toronto needs a goalie.
Toronto really needs a goalie. I don't know how they'd ever make it work cap-wise. What about Detroit? They're in a playoff spot. Who's their goalie? I know they got Alex Lyon there. They got Nedeljkovic there. I don't even know who their goalie is.
Dude, Vegas. How about Vegas?
Vegas has had injury problems all the time.
Do they need a goalie? No, but fucking imagine they got Markstrom. They can pull anything off, those guys.
Dude, here's their goalie situation in Detroit. James Reimer. I didn't even know James Reimer is in the league anymore. He's playing for Detroit. Ville Husso is injured. The other goalie.
How is Reimer still a goalie? Line.
Yeah.
You know who would be good to fit? Seattle. You'd probably make the playoffs with Markstrom and Net.
L.A., how about, like, Dave Riddick and Cam Talbot? Hey, I don't mind that combo, but... Why I should change myself.
He's a beauty, dude. I still think he's my favorite player of all time, dude.
I still... Isn't it weird how, like...
Kachuk, obviously, but...
Fuck, man, we had it good back then. So many good, likable guys.
How about Philly? Carter Hart's out.
Yeah, Philly... How about even in the offseason? Maybe you don't have to do the deadline, but other teams are going to be like Buffalo. I think New Jersey is a slam dunk.
Does he fit into your 3 to 5 year plan as a Flames? No.
Exactly.
Then fucking trade him at all time fucking trade value. The highest. Good management, bad management. All right, man. That's all my notes. Anything else? Oilers related?
Oilers, ew. Flames. Fucking kill me.
Related.
I want to die, how about? I don't know. Everyone's in Mexico right now.
Have you seen pictures? I haven't seen anything yet. I'm sure Monge is having a great time. Who's having the best time?
I haven't seen anything from Monge. I've seen Backlund's wife's been posting. Uyghur's been posting. Uyghur's golfing today. Else is Coleman's down there?
Coleman deserves to have a fucking blast.
Lindholm is.
You know who doesn't deserve to have a blast? Huberto. Is he there with his girlfriend?
He should be doing those
champagne commercials right now.
Lock him up at home. He shouldn't be allowed to leave the Saddle Dome.
That's probably why. Daryl probably didn't let him go last year, right?
Just never let him leave the rink.
It's like, no, you're not allowed.
You're staying here.
He's like, here's his...
But everyone's going to Mexico. You're staying here. Here's your assignment.
You know, the coaches do like they put the lineups on the board and shit for the next practice and like next game. And it's like, here's who's going. Here's who's not going.
Here's who's
Mexico.
Going to Mexico. Here's who's Huberto. Not going. Lindholm, you're going. Monchi, you're going. Huberto, you're with me.
You're with me, Huberto. We're going to plow some fucking.
Coming to Viking. Coming to the farm. You're going to learn some real work there,
you're
buddy.
You're going
to
milk some
bulls. I'll give you something to whine about, you piece of shit.
You're going to milk some bulls. Oh, fuck. All right. All-star
I think
game.
That's it. It's just kind
you
of like.
Touch
you know,
an all-star game on these... or what?
Oh, I hate the all-star game. We're just waiting. Poor Lindholm. We're just waiting on these trades to happen. I think that's what most people are excited for.
Dude, if
watching this product is good. It's weird. It's funny because like there was that little stretch where they were like, "Oh, they're playing good. Oh yeah,
4 in a row. Oh yeah, and we come on like, here, watch them lose 4 in a row. Yeah. Bang,
It's funny how, and I guess this is a product of like being a Flames fan. Like you're kind of bipolar, but I've never seen a fan base who gets, or maybe all fan bases are like this. I don't know, but oh, we're good again. Man, we can make the play. Huberto, come back. Then we suck, and everyone's like, "Oh yeah, we suck." I forgot about that.
Still, I still watch it go on in my brain. I still do it. You know, the last podcast, remember?
We're like, can we make the playoffs?
The last podcast, I'm like, okay, we won 4 in a row. Here's the standing. It looks like, what would it take? Blah, blah, blah. And then the rational part comes in. It's like, no, here's what's going to happen. We're going to lose 4 in a row. Sure shit, lose 4 in a row. Sure shit, 24, 24, and 5 at the All-Star break.
People forget. It's like, we lay an egg against Chicago, but we win a few games and score a few nice goals, and everyone's right back on board. I don't forget. I never forget. The pain stays with me all the time.
Pain stays with you all the time, dude. Like, seriously. If it's reported there's 10 teams in on 10 of right fucking now, then Craig,
you work the phones, man.
Get it fucking done during this All-Star break.
But no, we're not going to overreact here.
Overreact here.
Use the word, not me. I'm not allowed to ever use the word rebuild.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.